Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We've got 24 and a half more minutes of astute analysis coming up. I'm Tim Wildman with Wesley Wildman, Steve Jordahl, Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning, everybody.
And Ray Pritchard, raised in Kansas City, we three in Tupelo. And what kind of shirt would you call that you got on there, Steve?
This is a music shirt.
Well, you're double layered.
It's a T-shirt, yeah.
You look like you're going to a Grateful Dead concert.
I might.
Steve.
Yeah, no. Actually, you know what? It's one of the founding members of the Grateful Dead died
recently.
And I am from the Bay Area, and I could not list one single Dead song.
Is that where they're from?
Yeah. Yeah, they're from the Bay Area.
One I know was Jerry Garcia.
Well, yeah.
He passed
Bill
away.
Bill Weir and Jerry Garcia and, yeah.
Yeah, the Grateful Dead, but they had their cult following, didn't they?
Boy, did they. Man.
The Deadheads.
People that would go around and just follow them around the country.
Yeah, I did that for a couple years.
I know.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah, well, then I realized I got to grow up. You know what I'm saying? I can't keep doing this. Yeah. Anyway, so much to talk about in this last 24 minutes of the program. Again, we thank you for listening. We're watching some state referendums that are taking place across the country, and two big ones are coming up in the state of Florida. And Jenna Ellis resides there in the Sunshine State, and well, we've talked to Jenna about these issues before, but it's crunch time. I mean, Election Day is next Tuesday for those who don't vote early. And I know we have some listeners in Florida. We have a station in Jacksonville and other listeners who I got an email the other day from a gentleman in the Tampa area who listens on our app, our AFR app. So we do have listeners in the state of Florida, and I know many people listening right now have friends and family who live in Florida and are going to vote if they haven't voted already. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. And yeah, it's so true, because even if you don't live in Florida and you're listening to this, chances are you know somebody in Florida. And also, what's going on in Florida, there are measures in states across the country that are similar to this. Yeah. And so the bottom line is people need to know what's on their ballot, not just in the elected offices, but also the ballot initiatives.
Okay, go over both of them.
Yeah, so three and four, amendments three and four are the big two that Governor DeSantis and also, I mean, every conservative in Florida are fighting. So we want to oppose these. Vote no. And amendment three is for legalizing marijuana. And this is even worse than my former home state of Colorado, which back in 2012 legalized through a constitutional amendment. And it was very hard to modify any of the guardrails or parameters. It has been absolutely devastating for the state. And we've seen that as a cautionary tale over the last 12, 13 years. And what makes Florida's Amendment 3 even more dangerous is that this is actually sponsored by a big corporation that just wants to come in and affect the state. And they do not have the language in the amendment to have any guardrails or restrictions on public use. And so what that means is that there would be a constitutional right to smoke pot, not only for fair housing, so if you live in an apartment complex, your neighbors could smoke and you can't do anything about it, but even dispensaries and smoking areas would be around Florida's theme parks, Florida's beaches. I mean, this would just be all over. So all of this, they're trying to frame as personal choice, freedom, and liberty, but we all know as conservatives, you have to have ordered liberty. You still have to ensure that the proper exercise of somebody's right, even if we want to say that they have a right to smoke pot, still needs to be restricted from children, from public spaces, and for people who don't want to smell that, who don't want to deal with it.
That's Amendment 3?
Yes. And so I just had a piece.
Vote no.
No. I just had a piece, if you want more information, all of that in floridasvoicenews.com. And you can also see it on my social media pages. So Amendment 4, of course, is the big one that we've all been pushing.
Hey, before you move on to Amendment 4, let me just say this about Amendment 3. So you're saying Amendment 3, which we're encouraging people to vote no on, is to legalize the public use of pot?
Yes. And so it would have a It would have a constitutionally protected right in Florida's constitution for recreational marijuana.
Recreational marijuana. Let me tell you something. While that's a terrible idea, in particular for the state of Florida, I think that could have economic consequences to the negative for Florida, at least over time, because Florida has an image of being a vacation state. It's a family-friendly vacation state. Mm-hmm. So you got the theme parks in central Florida. You've got the beaches all over Florida that attract people from around the world. A lot of people in the U.S. vacation in Florida. I know our family does. So you don't. It seems to me if you're Florida and you're a tourist, you're in the tourist business, you don't want the idea of families going to these places and having to smell pot smokers all around.
Not at all. And also, Florida doesn't have a state income tax. We're one of the very few states that doesn't. And it's because we have so much outside tourism. And Governor DeSantis has managed the budget so well. So this would have a direct impact on taxpayers as well. And it's so poorly written. And I also had the Florida commissioner for the Department of Education on my show, and listeners can go and listen to that. And he was talking about the impact even to schools, and to have people who could come in having, you know, all kinds of marijuana on their person and go into public schools.
Yeah.
And I mean, the consequences are just,
what is that
enormous.
Shaping up? But I know Steve has a question. Then we do want to get to Amendment 4, but do you know the polling on the recreational marijuana or not?
So that one is going to be, unfortunately, a lot closer. Remember, it is a 60% threshold for listeners. So there would have to be 40% plus one voting no to make it defeated. But according to the latest that I've heard from the governor's office, about 25% of Democrats, surprisingly, are opposed. And so hopefully enough Republican voters have some common sense that they will add to that, and we can get to the 40% plus one to defeat it.
Hey, Jenna, I also was in Colorado when it passed its recreational marijuana referendum. And one of the things that just made terrible confusion in that state is that the federal statutes are still against, or marijuana is still illegal, and the money that you make or you get from marijuana is still considered, or was considered at the time, illicit drug money. There's no place to put it in the banks, and it just made a terrible mess. Have they figured that one out in Florida, or is it still a mess there?
It's still a mess all over the country, because you're right, it is still illegal on the federal level. And so law enforcement basically just won't touch it. And even now in Florida, where you can use and possess marijuana with a medical card. And, you know, Governor DeSantis says they hand them out like candy here. I mean, it's not really that difficult if you want to. There have been even people in my own community that I've seen against, you know, the rules of our community that have smoked marijuana. And when I've called the police department, they've come and just said, well, basically, you know, we can't do anything about it. We're not really authorized to. So it's really unfortunate that even now there's not a lot of enforcement. It will just get way, way worse. And I was a prosecutor in Colorado at, shortly after Amendment 64 passed there. And one of the other interesting things was that when you had pleas for criminal offenders, some of their rights, including liberty, if you go to jail, can be foreclosed as part of a plea agreement. And they would say, well, I still have the right to smoke marijuana because that's now in the Constitution. And some judges, you know, didn't want to really touch that. But also, it was a lot more difficult to get convictions on driving while ability impaired based on drugs. And what we've seen, and the studies bear this out and the stats, that people who are driving under the influence of alcohol will then co-administer and be high as well and have the effects of THC. And that is so much more difficult to prove in court because you have to have drug recognition experts. And so the incidences of traffic fatalities, even car crashes, injuries, all of that has gone up in Colorado as well. And that would have devastating consequences.
Okay, talk about Amendment 4 quickly, if you would.
Yeah, so Amendment 4, of course, is the extreme abortion regulation amendment that would cement a so-called right to abortion in the state's constitution. And so it would eliminate current parental consent laws. It would say only a parent has to be notified, which could happen after the fact. So even some pro-choice advocates are saying, no, that's way too far. And the bill would does not define viability or necessary in terms of the patient's health or a patient's healthcare provider. So basically what this would do is have taxpayer-funded abortions up until the moment of birth for basically any reason in the state of Florida. And it is no surprise why the left is starting in Florida, because Governor DeSantis has been so pro-life. He signed Florida's heartbeat bill. There's been so much misinformation about that Florida law. Of course, women can get healthcare for miscarriages, life of the mother, some of those exceptions that were written into Florida's current law. This would allow, again, absolutely no guardrails, and just allow taxpayer-funded abortions at any time for any reason up until the moment of birth.
So vote no on Amendment 3 and Amendment 4.
Yes, in Florida.
Yeah.
And you can go to afaaction.net, and we actually have in there all of the 10 states that have abortion measures on the ballot. All of them are a no, because they're trying to override current good legislation in those states. So if you are a state that has any of these abortion constitutional amendments on the ballot, vote no.
All right. Hey, Jenna, thank you. What do you got coming up tomorrow morning on your show?
Thanks. So we're going to actually, we're going to be talking more about Amendment 3. And so we have one of the Florida Health Department secretaries who will be on, and then also a pastor talking about Christians getting out and vote. I know that we have been saying here at AFA, vote your values. I'll have Pastor Jack Hibbs on either later this week or early next week as well. And we're also hoping to get Governor DeSantis on as well to talk about his view of the election, not just in Florida, but overall. So we're hoping to schedule that this week as well. So a lot coming up. It'll be a great week.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Talking to Jenna Ellis there. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Did you guys hear about this? You know, Trump had his big Madison Square Garden rally.
Yeah.
20,000 people there.
Inside and an equal amount outside, I hear.
Oh, well, he had this comedian on.
Yeah.
That preceded his speech. And this comedian, his name is Tony Hinchcliffe. I never heard of him. Have you?
I've never heard of him.
You heard of him, Ray?
Nope.
Anyway, he's up there doing his stand-up routine, I guess. I didn't watch the whole thing. But then he calls Puerto Rico a, quote, floating island of garbage, end of quote. I don't know if you can even have context for that. But
I could give you what they're saying.
What is the context for calling Puerto Rico a, quote, floating island of garbage, end of quote?
All right. So there is known to be a lot of trash in the ocean that congregates, and there are floating islands of trash that they have found in the ocean. Puerto Rico, after one of the hurricanes that hit it, has had a hard time recovering, and that was the connection that the comedian made. I don't think he's doing the Trump campaign any favors, but that what I heard is the context of that joke.
All right. Well, somebody shouldn't have had this guy on stage if he's going to insult Puerto Ricans in that way. Because the reason I say that is, politically speaking, they were talking about there are 500,000 Puerto Rican voters in Pennsylvania. All right. So now I'm not saying they would all switch their vote to Harris if they were going to vote for Trump over this joke at a rally. I'm just saying you shouldn't have a guy on a big national platform like that.
It could be construed as the joke saying that the government hasn't stepped up enough to help the Puerto Ricans recover from their hurricane. And
he's saying Puerto Rico's a floating island of garbage. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an insult is what I'm saying to the people of Puerto Rico. Yeah?
Well, I listened to the clip, but the problem is, the issue you're having, same one I didn't get to hear the whole context, the front and the back and what the main point was, but other than it came across. Now the crowd did respond.
How'd they respond?
They responded. They got quiet.
Like it should was, we laugh or not?
Yes.
We shouldn't laugh at this.
No, and that's what you could credit the Trump crowd because they didn't laugh.
Somebody made a mistake by getting this guy on stage. Yeah. Is what I'm saying. If he's going to say things like that, seems to me that's my opinion.
Sure. I wonder if he's from there.
I don't think he's from there.
I don't think he is.
Okay.
I don't think he is.
His name. I've seen him somewhere before, but I'm not really familiar with his comedy. Do you know?
They call him an insult comic, as if he's sort of Don Rickles for the modern age.
Well, Don Rickles though made fun of himself, didn't he?
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, it's not even really a good comparison.
Yeah.
They didn't need to have a comedian up there anyway, right? Had all those speakers.
No.
You didn't need a comedian. But if you're going to have a comedian, get somebody of a Bob Hope type.
Yeah.
Who makes light humor, you know,
yeah,
that everybody can laugh at. You didn't need somebody up there taking shots at Puerto Rico like that. This is, I guess you would call it, an unforced error on the part of whoever planned. I mean, Mr. Trump, I don't think, had anything to do with putting that guy up there. But whoever approved him, they need a good talking.
Yep, yep, yep. All right, Steve, go ahead.
Silencing a crowd, let's talk about something that happened at the Kamala Harris rally the other day. I think it was last night. She was at one of her rallies, and I don't know how it happened. The clip is going to start with you're going to hear the crowd chanting, Kamala, Kamala. I want you to hear the best example ever of a buzzkill. This is cut one.
Each of you to shout your own name. Do that. Because it's about all of us. It's about all of us.
I've never.
Ouch.
That's not even like a thing where you shout your own name.
Right.
It's not even a thing.
I don't know.
Nobody's ever been in a public crowd where
they had a good thing going there for her.
I know.
Right.
Just three simple syllables. Come along, right? Then she goes into. Shout your own name.
Yeah.
Like we're going to be like the Tower of Babel or something.
Right.
Huh?
That might have been how God did it. I don't
anyway,
know.
I don't know. I can't. Go ahead.
All right. Hey, was just on the phone before I came in here with a friend of ours, Jim Garlow, who's former pastor of Skyline Church, now has a ministry helping members of Congress incorporate their faith into government. He is in the middle of a tour of Israel with some people, and I know.
Well, how did you catch up with him?
He called. He called from Israel.
To do what?
Well, I had asked him for an interview on a different story a couple days.
Oh, I got you. Didn't know he was over in Israel.
I didn't know he's in Israel,
okay,
so
he's calling you back.
He's calling me back. He's returning a phone call. The story that I had done, wanted his comment on. I did with somebody else because I couldn't get a hold of him that day, and that's fine. But anyway, I asked him about how our elections are being perceived over in Israel. Do they understand that there's a difference in the way that the United States may support Israel depending on who wins our election over here? And he said, absolutely, there is. This is cut 10.
So to keep our group together, when we're in mobs like that, we all wear the same color hat that my wife has prepared for us. So she got red hats. And they have a little bit of the stars and stripes on the bill of this red cap. And we stand out as Americans. And the Israelis, the Jewish people, would come up to us and say, thank you for standing with us. Thank you. And many of them came up, said, Trump, Trump, Trump. We want Trump. They would actually say to us, make America great again. We got stopped over and over. We were like heroes to them.
Number one, because the tourism has really dried up since the war started over there, and they're just glad to see the bodies over there again. People.
Yeah.
But more than that, I think they understand, the people of Israel understand, that there's something at stake in this election over here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We're taking a group in February.
Yeah.
To Israel. But listen, there's a stark difference, Ray, between former President Trump's attitude towards Israel and Vice President Harris's attitude toward Israel.
Look, the Israelis know that Donald Trump is their friend.
Yep.
He's the one who moved the embassy, right, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
He's the one who stood up for them. And Biden and now Kamala Harris flip-flopping between Israel and supporting
right.
Supporting the radical Arab terrorist. Yeah, the Israelis know Trump is their friend.
Right. Well, also, the Harris and Biden, particularly Harris, they're like non-committal, really, mm-hmm. on their support for Israel. It's like, yes, support. We support them, but they need to do this, they need to do that. It's kind of like they nitpick them on every move they make militarily.
And yeah. there's an equal morality between the
yeah.
two sides of the
Hamas that's and the good. Idea
that's
for
a good point.
You know, basically is what the message that comes across. So, listen, Harris and Biden, Biden would be a much better friend to Israel than Harris would be. Biden is more centrist and more pro-Israel. Right. I'm right. talking about the Biden in his former self, okay, over his career I'm talking about. But
sure.
Harris?
Sure.
Harris is a far lefty, and she believes in basically divesting from Israel, criticizing Israel. It's anti-Semitic in its tone, and you know what's going to be interesting to see too is how the Jewish American vote goes Tuesday, because typically Jews vote for Democrats. But I'm just wondering, Ray, maybe this time, based on what we just got through talking about, that way the views of Harris and Trump and how supportive and non-supportive they are of Israel, whether that's going to make a difference with, especially Jews in Florida, because there's a lot of Jews in South Florida, a lot of Jews in New York. But anyway, go ahead.
If they vote their self-interest,
right.
if they vote the interest of Israel, they're going to vote for Donald Trump. Is Kamala Harris going to get the majority? Yeah, Tim, I think of the Jewish vote, she'll get the majority because the Dems.
Right.
A
lot of them are secular Jews. They're not really
exactly
religious.
Right. I wonder what percentage Donald Trump got of the Jewish vote in 2016. Whatever it was, I'll bet it's larger this year.
Yeah, no, I agree. And also, not only Israel as a consideration, but these student protests on campuses all over the country we've seen the last year in favor of Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a lot of Jews who give a lot of money to these schools.
That's right.
And they've been shocked
yeah.
to see how the administration of those schools, especially the Ivy League schools, some of the schools, the prestigious schools on the West Coast, have embraced the pro-Hamas rallies.
Yeah, and what I believe is that it's not necessarily that when Harris does these types of things, such as waffle between the two supports, I don't think it's necessarily that Trump gains as much as Harris loses.
Yeah.
So I think it just really messes up the turnout of vote with the Jews for Harris, and as more, which is more damaging in my opinion than them actually flipping. I don't know if they'll flip, but.
Well, the influence of Jewish voters is really relegated more to New York City and South Florida. That's where most of the Jews, I would say 50% of the Jews in this country reside, or maybe more percentage than that. Somebody once said there's more Jews in New York than there are in Israel. All right, Ray, thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Steve, appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And Thursday, we'll have a special program. So Thursday, we'll have a special program. We have a sermon, Vote Like Jesus, by Pastor Josh Howerton. We talked to his staff, and we've asked him if we could use his sermon. It's a very good sermon that encourages people to get out and vote.
So during our Today's Issues show, we're going to interrupt that and play this fantastic sermon.
Yep.
On Thursday.
Because it's so important.
It is very important. By Josh Howerton, Lake Point Church in Texas.
What's his name?
Josh Howerton.
Okay.
He pastored a church in Rockwall, Texas called Lake Point Church.
And you heard this message, and we thought it was worthy of replaying on AFR.
Absolutely.
That's Thursday. We'll see you back here live tomorrow, everybody.